Welcome back to episode one of season two of the 3P podcast. I am today's host, Alex Castle. Alongside me, I have...
And Josh Fromowitz.
Man, oh man, feels great to be back. The three of us took a little break during the pandemic just to spend some more time with our family, gather a little more information about sports with the current climate, but now we're back. And we got a lot of sports to talk about today. We got the NBA, which could be the heart of sports right now in all the pandemic, not only on a athletic and, you know, sport level, but a political level too. You got the NFL, which is making its comeback in 2 weeks, which a lot to talk about there. And then if we had time, well, we could talk about Major League Baseball, talk about the trade deadline, talk about the playoff picture, who's right at the wild card, who's not going to make it. But first, we really got to dive into basketball. This has been some of the most exciting basketball I've seen in a long time. A lot of these young guys are really stepping up to the plate. I mean, it's like a whole new wave of basketball. And Josh, as someone who's really big into the sport, I know you've had a lot with everything that's been going on. So tell me, the series, what you've seen so far, what's been your take on the NBA during the pandemic?
So I love what's been going on in the NBA from a competition level. All the players look energized. They look motivated. They are ready to play. It looks like there was no break. You couldn't tell. There's no rust on these players. And it looks like this is the most competitive basketball they've been playing in however long. One thing that stood out to me so far, and it will continue to stand out, is the Utah Jazz-Denver Nuggets matchup. Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray, those two going at it is incredible. They are making history, and they both are just 23 years old. Those two are in the likes of Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson as the only players in NBA history with multiple 50-point games in a series. And before that, it was just those two. And now there are four people, so that just doubled in from one series. And there will be a game seven, and you could expect the competition just to rise even more. And it's not just those two that are doing well. You have guys like Nikola Jokic, who is an all-star, helping out Jamal Murray. And then for the Jazz, Rudy Gobert, Jordan Clarkson off the bench has been huge. Mike Conley, a veteran point guard, he's been doing well. Steve, I know this is not the only series that's been doing well. What else is catching your eye?
That kind of weaker showing in game one by both teams, they have proven that they could be championship caliber teams and make it to finals and battle out in what could be maybe one of the best finals ever. But you can't forget about the Clippers too. They had a tough time with the Mavericks. Luka Doncic really gave the Clippers a run for their money. Kristaps unfortunately went down with an injury during the series. So if they had him, I'm sure the series could still be going right now. But all they had to do was really stop Luka, which they managed to do, and Kawhi really took off. And then PG, he's had his struggles during this playoff. But I think he will slowly start to turn it around. I mean, you gotta remember, these guys are in a bubble. They are isolated with their teams and kind of the rest of their players. They can't leave. You know, they're playing a lot of games, but then they can't really do anything like they normally would do if they were playing in the Staples Center or the Pfizer Forum or, you know, whatever other arena that the team plays at. So it definitely is taking a toll on them a little bit mentally as well as physically. But for the most part, I'll tell you what, these guys are competing hard and they are looking good.
So, Steve, you mentioned Paul George's struggles. Does that worry you for the future rounds now that they moved on? They're going to be playing probably, they'll play the winner of the Rockets and the Thunder. They either play James Harden and Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul and that young crew. Does it worry you that Paul George's struggles shooting-wise?
Listen, you can't just say no, because if he's struggling, and it's not like it was just one game or two games. I mean, he struggled for most of the series. So, yeah, you got to be a little bit concerned. But I want to say no, because Paul George is that type of, you know, I would say an elite player in the NBA, where I believe that his talent is just too good for him to consistently not put up good numbers. Also, the playoffs, he's been in the playoffs many times, but he's been in the playoffs with many different types of teams, you know, with Indiana when he was very young, and then he had his gruesome leg injury. But then when he was last year, Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, I mean, that's a different type of team than, say, the Clippers are now with Kawhi, you know? So there wasn't a lot of championship caliber players or experienced players that he played with, unlike now with Kawhi. So, I mean, definitely be a little concerned, but I think he'll turn it around and really, I think he'll take off. And a lot of people who were making fun of him for this past series are going to be like, holy crap, PG came to play.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, Steve. Listen, I like Paul George a lot. I think he's a great player. But I don't know. I don't know if it's the injury. I don't know if it's the change in teams that he's experienced in his career, but I'm just not seeing something in George that says to me that I'm a star caliber player that's going to lead this team to a chip. Do I see that in Kawhi? Absolutely. I mean, you look at the way that he controls the floor with that team. It's just incredible. And we all know Kawhi's not the most vocal guy on the court or even off the court. But it's just, from my perspective, at least as a viewer, as a fan of sports, I don't see George being that guy. Now, do I think the Clippers are going to make it far in the playoffs? Yes, I do. Do I think they're going to make it to the finals? We'll have to talk about that a little later. But in terms of that series with Paul George, I don't think he can be that guy, no. But just sticking with specific players, you had mentioned, you know, talking about Dallas earlier, about Luka, about Kristaps. I just want to talk about those two for a minute. Kristaps, as we know, was a top pick for the Knicks a couple years back. Did not really age well, dealt with injuries, was portrayed as the star, and really just didn't end well for the city, and now he's with Dallas. And then you have Luka Doncic, who they're saying could be the next best, greatest player in the NBA scene. What my question for you guys is Luka going to become the poster boy for European players? And what do I mean by that is, are teams now going to look at Doncic and say, there's an untapped market of players in Europe that the NBA is not fully taking advantage of?
I would say yes, definitely. I know even for this upcoming draft class, there's his name is Denny. I don't really know how to pronounce his last name. I don't want to mess it up. It's like Denny Avida, something like that. And he is supposed to be a top lottery pick. The lottery results for the top 13 picks were found out a couple of weeks ago. The Timberwolves got the number one pick. So teams are definitely going to be looking at these guys because they can find the next Luka Doncic. And if you can find that, you're going to be set for many, many years, unless if injuries or trades, whatever. But for the most part, you know, if everything goes fine, you can find yourself a superstar. I mean, there's a lot of talented international guys, as well as guys in the United States. So some of them who are you know, highly touted prospects may not turn into something, or some of them like Luka, you know, they said Luka will be good, but a lot of people I don't think realized he was going to be this good. So it's funny how the Hawks like drafted him, but then ended up trading the pick to the Mavericks. So it's basically Trae Young for Luka. So I'm sure Elena is more than satisfied with Trae Young, but you got to wonder too. I mean, they could have had Luka. So the top teams in this who are drafting high, like my Chicago Bulls, like the New York Knicks, Golden State Warriors, you know, they might be looking for, you know, a next European superstar who, you know, may not be the same position or type of player like Luka, but has the same ceiling and could create the same impact that Luka is having, not only on Dallas or with Dallas, but also on the league, you know, entirely. So,
Josh, what's your take?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think the days of GMs and owners worrying about drafting someone like Darko Milicic are well over. You see international talent, not just Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, but most NBA teams have that one international player that stands out, whether it's Nikola Jokic or someone else. International, European, and international talent is very well right now. Might even be better than American basketball, frankly. That's an argument for another time. But I think someone like Denny Avdija from Israel is someone that teams will strongly look at now because they're seeing what Luka is doing in the playoffs. And it's not just him. It's everyone else, like I said.
It's funny you make that point about Milicic. I wonder if anyone will look at that draft and that'll be the key deciding factor is like, do we want to gamble on the Milicic or not? But I think that European players are coming in a new wave, and I really think it's gonna be interesting to see how the league handles that. So now getting to the big debate. Obviously, we're in the playoffs. Teams have been eliminated already. Series are continuing to get competitive. Who do you guys like at the end of the day for the finals? Josh, we'll start off with you.
So, I still believe that the West will be either the Lakers or the Clippers. I think it'll be the Clippers just because after LeBron and Anthony Davis for the Lakers, there's a drop-off. It's Kyle Kuzma is their next best player, you could say. Which I don't really know if I want Kyle Kuzma being my third scorer in the finals, basically. For the Clippers, you have Kawhi Leonard, two-time champion. Paul George, been in the playoffs multiple times. Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, those two, both candidates for Sixth Man of the Year. They have other scorers. Landry Shamet's coming out of nowhere being a huge scorer.
Shammy, baby.
That's Alex's favorite player, I guess.
Marcus Morris,
yeah, even though he was ejected, who knows what's going to happen with that. But no, it's funny that you bring that up because you saw the playoff intensity with Luka, and Marcus Morris brought that intensity, very aggressive with Luka, so that's definitely a key factor. Teams want that in the playoffs. So I think it'll be the Clippers out west, and for the east, I think it's going to be the Miami Heat. And I think they're going to upset the Bucks, and then they're going to beat the Celtics. And I say that because Jimmy Butler is a different animal in the finals, in the playoffs, I mean. He's taken over. But they have other players around to match up. So, like, someone like Bam Adebayo could guard Giannis. And if he forces him from three, okay, you'll settle for that. But they have Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic, Duncan Robinson, other key guys, Andre Iguodala, the veteran experience from Iguodala, who's been in the finals before.
And was an MVP, don't forget.
And was an MVP, defensive beast. I think that could be huge for a young team like that. I know, Steve, you want to jump in at some point, but I think it'll be the Heat and the Clippers. Let's hear it.
Josh, you took me away with that Heat pick, but I can't really fault you because they were so underrated in within the bubble. I mean, they swept the Pacers with ease. And Duncan Robinson has been shooting the lights out with, you know, threes. He's been doing phenomenal. Like you said, Jimmy Butler, I would take him on my team any day of the week. His leadership, his intensity, and his talent. I just don't think they're quite ready yet. Eric Spoelstra is a good coach. They have a lot of good players, but I think they still need another year, another piece maybe. And I want to say Milwaukee, but I'm not going to lie. Those Boston Celtics, they are playing phenomenal as well. They swept Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but that was a shorthanded Sixers team.
It was. But, I mean, it's still the Philadelphia still has a good enough guys. Tobias Harris, obviously Joel Embiid, Josh Richardson. He's still on there, right? He's pretty good.
Richardson, Al Horford.
Al Horford. So they got some guys that can play basketball. And they just, 4 games, send Philadelphia home. And then game one against Toronto, same thing. Just let Toronto have it, the defending national champions. So, I mean, Tatum's looking scary. Jaylen Brown has been playing very well. Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker. I mean, they got some experienced guys. They got some great young talent. Coaching Brad Stevens is a great coach. I know he really hasn't advanced too far in the playoffs, but he has enough playoff experience where, you know, it's not new to him. So I believe that the Boston Celtics will come out of the East. And then I believe they will be facing the Los Angeles Lakers. And LeBron is on a mission. Anthony Davis is on a mission. The entire Lakers team's on a mission. You know, one, they're playing for Kobe Bryant. You know, they, you know, have not forgotten about that and just the impacts he had on that organization, on those guys, and just the entire basketball community. So they're still playing for him. And, I mean, he's LeBron James, definitely the face of the NBA right now. He's been the face of the NBA for many years, and he probably will be the face of the NBA for a few more years down the road. So if LeBron's on a mission, you know, he's going to do anything in his power to achieve it. So now deciding who will win between those two, I might need to watch some more of the games to decide, but I believe that the Los Angeles Lakers will be playing the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals whenever that time is.
I just want to go back to your Celtics pick, Steve. There's two big things about you picking the Celtics. And don't get me wrong, I think they're a very scary team. As a Nets fan, I've seen what they've done to us. I've seen what they've done in the bubble. The Raptors only lost twice in the bubble, and both times were to the Celtics. Other than that, they were undefeated, which has got to say something. But one big thing is the Celtics are very young, okay? So they don't really have the experience. This is Kemba Walker, obviously the leader of that team, just got his first playoff series win. Then they have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. Yeah, they've been in the playoffs, but they're young still. They've never been this far, really. They haven't been to the finals for sure. Another big thing is they're without Gordon Hayward. That's a big loss for their bench or for their starting rotation, wherever they're going to use him. Their bench is not really that deep or strong. And in key games in the conference semis, conference championships, the finals, you need a deep bench. And I think when you match that up, the Heat might have the edge over the Celtics because the Heat's bench is so deep and Spoelstra has coached finals before.
You got a good point there. You definitely do. But guys on the Celtics bench have stepped up like Daniel Theis. Robert Williams has, I mean, maybe not impressed everyone, but he's impressing me, at least on the defensive side. So, yes, they may not be as strong or have a lot of depth on the bench, but they got a lot of young guys on the bench, too, that are trying to prove themselves. So this is a great opportunity to do that. So, you know, the bench could end up hurting them. But so far, I mean, the playoffs, it hasn't really seemed to do so. We'll see against the rest of the series against the Raptors. But I just don't know with the Heat. I just don't think they have enough to do it. But anything's possible, especially within the bubble. You know, these guys want it, so really it'll come down to who wants it the most.
And you could say they got that home court advantage, being in Miami, and they're playing in Orlando because the Magic are out now.
That is true. Yeah.
Interesting to say they have home court advantage. But I got to say, both of you have... Well, let me start with the West. So, despite what you had said, Josh, about the depth of their bench, I do agree with you, but I still will have to give the Lakers going to the finals, only because I just think LeBron is a different animal in the playoffs. I mean, I think he's got a lot going on in his life, not only on the court, but on a personal level with everything going on in this country. And, you know, I think that's got to be fueling him to a different level. I mean, none of us can really relate to what he's experiencing right now, what African Americans are experiencing in this country. But I definitely think that's motivating him to some level. And he's also LeBron. I mean, look, the guy's lost finals before. The guy's lost playoff games before. I'm not here to, you know, to deny that. Of course he has. It's what makes him a real athlete. But I just think all cards on the table, I think he's really going to push this Laker team in a spot. I mean, yeah, I again, agree with you, Josh. I mean, I don't know if I'd want Kuzma to be my number three shooter after LeBron and AD. I mean, he's a young guy. I mean, he's really nice with the deep ball. But I don't know if he can be that push. And I think it's just going to come a lot of it's going to come to LeBron and AD, and you're going to see a couple of good moments from role players. But that's how I see it in the West. In the East, I was originally going to go with Boston. But after kind of hearing you two go back and forth, I mean, you take away Kemba, you know, Tatum, and Brown, and sure, maybe Smart too. Who are you, you know, you're looking at guys who are coming off the bench, who they're either young and inexperienced or old and they're not in their prime. And I definitely think when you have that going up against a team like Toronto, for example, who's coming fresh off a finals win, who's got a lot of talent on their team, I'm going to give it to Toronto, honestly. I really like Toronto in the bubble. I really like Van Fleet. I think he's a great guard. I like Siakam. Not a total big fan of Gasol, to be honest. I mean, I like him as a player. I'm not sure if he's being used the best way possible. Like, I feel like he's been outside a lot looking for threes when I really feel like he could still be effective down low with Siakam. But aside from that, love Lowry. Like, I really like this team. So my finals prediction is going to be the Raptors and the Lakers. I think either LA team, honestly, in the finals would be great. I think they just add different things. I think with the Lakers, it's more about seeing how their star power can pick up for the bench, as opposed to the Clippers, where you got it more spread out, where you got stars who are there for the jump ball, and then you got guys like Lou Williams, who, you know, sixth man of the year, multiple years. So that's how I see it. But hey, as we've all said, anything is possible. I mean, you know, for all we know, Tatum can go off and can lead them to the finals, or Jimmy and the Heat can go off and lead them. I mean, I'm not counting out the Heat either. I mean, I really like what the Heat have this year. So that's my prediction for the NBA Finals. I highly recommend, if you haven't watched any of the games, highly recommend it. It's been great. But now we got to switch to Pigskin. We got football coming up in 2 weeks, boys. Before we get into discussion, I want to break some news. As a Giants fan, we were able to get Logan Ryan for a one-year deal. Very happy about that. I think he's going to be a very nice piece to the secondary, considering we lost DeAndre Baker. And yeah, I mean, the Giants this year, the Giants are wild card material for sure. Daniel Jones has added some muscle, which was big. We got Thomas, who I think is going to create a brick wall along with Hernandez for the blind side, for that side of the ball. But yeah, but enough about my Giants. I want to hear what you guys are thinking about for the season. Moves that are being made. Josh, you talk a little bit about your Jets.
Yippee.
Steve, talk a little bit about your Bears. What do you guys think for this season?
So I want to say I go into every season being optimistic as a Jet fan, but I'm here to just be realistic. Darnold really hasn't been that impressive, which is very worrisome. This is his third year. At this point, he should be the veteran, like one of the veteran leaders of the team. He's got to be outspoken. He's got to be electric. We know what the Jets offense looks like. Yeah, we got the O-line help that we might need with Becton being a mammoth among men. We have other veterans now like Frank Gore, but that just makes no sense really because you have Le'Veon Bell. Denzel Mims hasn't practiced and he's supposed to be electric, but he might miss a few games already. Our defense has obviously a big hole, no Jamal Adams, but Marcus May has been very impressive in practice. One big thing is Quinnen Williams has turned a lot of heads, and he's looking really scary in practice, as a lot of the coaches have been saying. So as a Jet fan, definitely very optimistic, but also 7-9 looks very realistic to us right now.
Now, before we get to Steve, Josh, your Jets team is about to enter this season with the conference looking very different. I mean, you got Buffalo, who, in my opinion, is an amazing team to watch. I mean, I think Allen's got a little more to develop, but he can throw the deep ball really well. You got a great defense. You got Diggs added to the arsenal, so you got that. You got Cam now with the Pats. And then you got Tua with the Dolphins and all of those moves that they made. So, I mean, this whole division is just, it's yeah. really resurfaced. I mean, how do you see, I guess what I should be asking is, does the AFC East this season become more of a division that should be on watch?
Oh, for sure. It should be because, like you said, it's a whole new division. It's not Tom Brady's throne, basically, and we're all his slaves. No, you have a wide open division. And yeah, while most people still predict Buffalo, the team that made the wild card last year, to be the early favorites in this division, you still have Cam Newton with New England, who has been to the Super Bowl. He has won an MVP, being coached by Bill Belichick. So the Patriots are still very strong contenders, and they still have most of their defense back. Stephon Gilmore is probably the best corner in all of football. I hate admitting that, but he's a nightmare for all quarterbacks. But you also have the Dolphins and their new look. They're still unsure what's going to happen, if it's going to be Fitzmagic or Tua. But whoever is the quarterback, Fitzmagic at age like 72 still brings his intensity and fire and the fiery energy to the locker room, which teams like. As a Jet fan, I loved him and what he brought. Even though he's old and probably has broken bones, he still will hustle for those first downs, take hits like a champ. Teams love that, so Miami loves him for that. But Tua's a young cannon. He's a lefty slinger. They got some weapons to help him out. So I'm not counting out Miami. And then the Jets, like, we're there, but you shouldn't count us out. We have made some moves to help us. Like I said, we have Frank Gore, who is a veteran. He's played on every AFC East team now. He is probably a future Hall of Fame running back, so he knows what he's doing. He's a workhorse. Le'Veon Bell is in his best shape ever, that he said that. Adam Gase has apologized for how he used Bell, and he hopes to use him more this season. So I definitely want to see that. So Steve, that's enough about the AFC East. Let's hear about the Bears.
Well, the Bears, listen, I'm excited, but I'm also a little worried. So similar to you, Josh, because of course our defense, I love our defense. Khalil Mack, you add Robert Quinn off the edge. I mean, Eddie Goldman did opt out. That's a big loss. But it wasn't just him. You know, many other big guys in the league have also opted out, so it's not like the Bears just lost someone. But Jets we do too. Get Akeem Hicks back. Yeah, we get Akeem Hicks back from injury, which is good. So at least we'll have him coming back. Eddie Jackson is there. Kyle Fuller. I like the signing of Tayshawn Gibson. I think him and Eddie Jackson, both great ball hawks. So I'm hoping they'll become a pretty good duo. And I like the corner, rookie corner, Jalen Johnson. We signed Artie Burns, former first-round pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He unfortunately tore his ACL at one of the practices. So now Jalen Johnson's going to get his shot. And he was really good at Utah, a second-round pick. So I'm hoping he does good and maybe he can start alongside of Kyle Fuller and Buster Skrine. So now moving to the offensive side of the ball, and this is where a lot of questions are. So last season, the tight end was a big issue. Trey Burton was injured a lot. And just our backups, Adam Shaheen just injured, didn't play well. We ended up trading him to Miami. Trey Burton ended up getting released, signed with the Colts. And I'm pretty sure he already got hurt already. And plus, you just don't want to see guys get hurt, especially a player like him. He's a good player. Not the best, but he's a very good player. But tight ends, I mean, listen, at first, the Jimmy Graham signing, I wasn't thrilled about, but he's looking pretty good. I know this is just practice. A lot of it's just scripted, and they're going to want to make him look good. But Jimmy Graham was one of, or if not, the best tight end at one time. Granted, now he's older. You can say he's washed up. But he's looking good. And then you draft Cole Kmet. And Cole Kmet, I mean, young, big kid. He's also looking good. So those two, and they seem close already, which is really good to see. So I think they really, really brought out a different side and a different attitude in that tight ends room, which they need. So that's good. The only thing I'm worried about now is the quarterback situation. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky has not been what the Bears thought he would be, or even, I mean, some of the league guys, executives didn't think he was going to be that good, but the Bears drafted him to be a franchise quarterback. He has not done that yet. So then Nagy basically went to Ryan Pace and said, I need someone to compete with him. So they brought in Nick Foles, a guy who Nagy is very familiar with, and Foles has won a Super Bowl. He's been very clutch in the playoffs. He has done well in seasons. He hasn't really played a full season, which is concerning. The only thing is, you know, certain guys are saying that Mitch looks like a new player, but then reporters and even, you know, Matt Nagy is saying the quarterbacks, they're making progress, but they still don't seem to be where they should be at for week one, which only starts in, you know, 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks. So that is concerning for me because, you know, Mitchell Trubisky supposedly changed some of his mechanics. He really, like, tried to become more of a leader this year. He really tried making change, which is good. And a lot of guys have noticed it. But then even Nick Foles, who was brought in to compete with him and make him better, sometimes he's looked good, but then sometimes he hasn't looked that impressive either. So, you know, it's got to be a tough decision for Matt Nagy to make, like, who's going to start week one under center, because that is probably the biggest position that you got to figure out for week one, especially for the Bears, who have not had good quarterback play, not only just the past couple years, but really throughout their history with the franchise. So that is really concerning for me. And David Montgomery, our starting running back, just got hurt. Nothing too serious. He, I believe, strained his groin. He in practice took a handoff and slipped. So luckily, it looked, from the video, looked like it could have been a lot worse. So he's fortunate. Bears fans are fortunate, and just the Bears in general are fortunate that it wasn't anything too serious. So, you know, listen, we got some playmakers. Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller. We signed Ted Ginn, who's very fast. Even though he's older now, he's still quick and can be a deep threat. You can't forget about Tariq Cohen. The line, for the most part, last year didn't play well, but it's the same group of guys. They played well 2 years ago, didn't play well last year. So hopefully with a new offensive line coach, Juan Castillo, who is a great O-line coach, we'll sharpen them up again. So, you know, I don't know what to expect. 2 years ago when they made the playoffs, I was thinking, listen, we should be better, especially when they added Khalil Mack. And I believe tomorrow is actually the anniversary. It will be 2 years since the Bears acquired Khalil Mack. So it's a good day in Bears history and to be a Bears fan. But then last year I had a lot of high expectations, not only me, but the players, fans, and even just league executives across the league thought that the Bears could be Super Bowl contenders, and the offense just did not perform well last year. So this year it's tough, you know. I see a lot of people where their predictions, they have the Bears being like 6-10. I don't see them being that bad. I mean, even last year with all the struggles and injuries we had, they still managed to finish 8-8. But, you know, who knows? If the quarterback play really isn't there, then I guess they could finish 6-10. I believe the defense will at least keep them in every game or will at least win them a few games. But the offense definitely has to be better so that they can win, you know, 10, 11, 12 games again and make it back to playoffs where they should be playing. So it'll be interesting. And a lot of teams, you know, with guys opting out and injuries now or new signings like the Giants, Logan Ryan, it's just a toss-up. Like, you know, really, especially and with this season that no one had preseason, you know, so everyone's kind of almost on the same playing field, if that makes sense, you know?
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think everyone is on an even level playing field. And I think that you will see that, especially with the beginning weeks. Just to go off your point quickly, Chicago actually sounds like they've got some good things going for them. I think having Gibson and Jackson as your secondary, part of your secondary, I think that's going to be really good to have, especially in a conference where, I mean, in a division where the quarterback scenarios are questionable. I mean, Stafford's still with the Lions, great. You still got Cousins with Minnesota, right? And then with Green Bay, what's going on there? Is it going to be Love? Is it going to be Rodgers? Is Rodgers going to leave? So I think as long as you guys can solidify who your starter is, which in my opinion, it should be Foles. You guys went out of your way to get him. Sure, Trubisky's young, but maybe Foles can guide him a little bit. Maybe, you know, Foles can be your guy that tries to give you a playoff push in the next 2 to 3 years, and then by the time he's done, you got Mitch ready to go. So I'm very interested to see what happens with the Bears this season. So before we wrap up today, we got to talk about the current guys in the league who have not been picked up yet. Free agents. Play a little game called Where Are They Going to End Up? We still got Earl Thomas, one of the top three safeties in the league. Baltimore, what happened? Baltimore dropped him?
Yeah, so he had an incident with a teammate during practice, and I guess the Ravens did not like his actions because they got in a fight, and they cut him. Steve, I don't know if there was more to the story that I left out.
I believe this was actually going on. Many players on the Ravens, especially some higher up guys like captains or leaders on the team, I think they were kind of getting fed up with his actions, or maybe the way he kind of was. So his attitude, I believe he was, I don't know if this is entirely true, but I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that he was showing up to meetings late, or he missed certain things, or, you know, certain coverages. He was supposed to do this, and he just did another completely different thing. So he wasn't really following. It seemed like he wasn't really being a team player. And so then when he got into the fight with a teammate, you know, many of them were like, we just really don't want this guy on the team anymore, because even though he's very talented, one, he didn't have as good of a season as they thought he would, and two, his attitude and and the way he was bringing himself about within the team just wasn't, you know, working with the rest of the team, and especially that Baltimore team is a good team. You know, they are contenders. They got Lamar Jackson, the MVP, so they want to win, and they don't want anything holding them back, especially one of their own guys. So, yeah, and then they tried trading him, but one, if they were going to release him, no team wants to give the Ravens anything when they could just sign him. And two, you know, a lot of teams, I'm sure, want to sign him, but then they got to think, like, is it going to be worth it? Was it just a situation in Baltimore? You got to remember in Seattle, when he got hurt, he flipped off the Seattle bench.
Yeah.
You know, as he was getting carted off. So he's had numerous occasions where he's kind of been, I guess, a little bit of a headache. So for me, if I had to give a prediction of who he's going to sign with, I saw the Chargers were interested, but then Anthony Lynn said that they did not plan on signing him.
Things might change, though. Didn't Derwin James just get hurt?
He did, again, because last year he got hurt.
Yeah, and he just got re-injured in practice. So who knows, that opportunity might open up again.
For Earl Thomas to go Hollywood, that'd be very interesting. But you made a great point, Steve. He's part of a team that was on a Super Bowl run, got out early, but you would think, okay, here's a top guy in the league, and then all this happens. So I definitely think there's going to be a huge question mark around this guy. In terms of a prediction where I think he goes, I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but I think he's going to go to Dallas. I think, you know, he's from Texas. Dallas is in a spot right now where they've got good talent on one side of the, on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, they're developing, but they need to improve. I don't think they have the same secondary that they had three seasons ago. So I think Thomas could be a big threat.
I was going to say Dallas too. You know, they lost Byron Jones. Now Byron Jones played corner, but still in the secondary. So you lost Byron Jones. They did sign HaHa Clinton-Dix, but I know HaHa Clinton-Dix last year with the Bears. Really, the past couple of years, HaHa has played well, but not the Pro Bowl caliber year he had in one of his first seasons with Green Bay. So, and they lost Jeff Heath, the Cowboys. So I could easily see him going to Dallas. And Dallas has been interested in every safety that has whose name has popped up for either trades or free agency.
As we saw with Jamal Adams, I mean.
Jamal Adams, exactly. So they were interested in him, which I thought the Cowboys were going to make a big move to get him. They didn't.
I was scared they were going to get him.
Yeah. No, honestly, I mean, because he would have made that defense from, like, good, but they, I mean, Jamal Adams is going to make any defense from either poor to decent or decent to good or good to great. You know, he's going to bring it to a whole nother tier. So he could have taken the Cowboys defense that was good to great. Earl Thomas at one point would have done that. Now with some of his actions and his age has, and possibly his injury could affect, you know, his play that has, his play has definitely regressed a little bit last year. So, but he could still make an impact. So, if you're Dallas, you should be interested in a guy like Earl Thomas, as long as you do your research and background to make sure, like, you know what, this guy wants to play, this guy wants to win. It didn't work out in Baltimore, but it could work out here.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think he will get scooped up by a team before the start of the season, but don't be surprised if it's not done tomorrow. I think it's going to take time. I do. Josh, thoughts on Thomas, man?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is definitely the heavy favorite, and I was leaning towards Dallas, but if they were to make a move, it would have happened already. They also don't have the best reputation of picking up safeties because they missed out on Jamal Adams. So Earl Thomas, if they really wanted him, they would have picked him up by now. I was just reading something saying the 49ers are looking at him as well. And a team that defensively, they were scary a year ago. But like you said, Steve, injuries are costing them. Richard Sherman's getting up in age. They could use a boost in that secondary. I could see Earl Thomas feeling like he's back with the Seahawks in that secondary.
I wonder, do you guys think it's possible that he would accept a reunion with Seattle? I mean, to pair him with Jamal Adams, that could be something scary. Kind of like what they had with Cam Chancellor.
I don't think.
Bring back the Legion of Boom.
I don't think.
A little bit.
He's on the best terms with Pete Carroll to be able to do that. I don't think he'd accept either one of those two athletes would accept, because they wouldn't be playing as much time on the field or a position change for one of them. I don't think either one of them would accept that, because they both are strong safeties. One would be a free, one would be a strong. I don't think either one of those two, because they're two of the top three safeties in the league, no question about it. Pains me to say it now about Jamal, but it's true. I don't think either one of them would accept less playing time because of it. But I could see the 49ers being a real threat. I'm sure he'd love a reunion with Richard Sherman.
I think that if it can work on both sides, Thomas could make a return. I mean, a lot goes into it, but if he goes back there, Seattle just becomes a scary team on all fronts. They really do. So we'll have to see about that. Another name that I want to bring up, and it's funny because I just saw a video today on Bleacher Report that back in March, he called himself the Tim Duncan of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Leonard Fournette is no longer part of the team. They waived him today. He's a free man. He's on the market. I was trying to think about this earlier. Where do I see him going? I really don't know, to be honest. I think that who's Miami's running back? Does Miami have anyone?
They got Matt Breida, who they traded for, and then they had Jordan Howard. So they should be set for now, unless if, you know, injuries or just poor play. But I have a couple teams from Castle.
Go, Steve.
So I done some reading and just analyzing and researching three teams that pop up, and then one of you guys could either agree with the teams or not. So I'll say they listed the Bears. The only thing that I'm not convinced with the Bears is just because even though Montgomery's hurt, like, they want Montgomery to be the guy. And you can't forget about Cohen. And then they moved Cordarrelle Patterson to running back this year. So they don't really have him out. Why? No, they've been having him line up primarily as running back. They believe, and I think his numbers show, he does better as a running back out of the backfield. So, you know, that's three guys already that you got to kind of share carries with. So to add another guy like Fournette, listen, they signed him. Would I be mad? No. I think there might be other needs, if they want to get more D-line help or more offensive line help, I think rather that than say Fournette. But a team like the Buccaneers, maybe the Rams. I mean, the Buccaneers, they have Ronald Jones, but he's not really consistent, and he's more speed. So if you get the power aspect of it, and plus, you know, Brady likes his running backs in New England. They had Sonny Michel, James White. They used to have LeGarrette Blount for many years. So Fournette's kind of like the LeGarrette Blount, a lot of power, but he's also pretty fast too. But then the Rams, they got rid of Todd Gurley. They did draft Cam Akers, who I drafted in my fantasy league. So I know they're pretty high on him. I'm pretty high on him. But those are some teams that could be interested in him, because Fournette, I mean, Jacksonville is just, that was a bad situation that a lot of those guys got themselves into. Yeah. Not that they got themselves into, but what the situation that was. And they made the AFC Championship, what, just 2 years ago? Or this will be like three. But Bortles just did awful that following year. Jalen Ramsey wanted out because he wanted a contract extension. Yannick Ngakoue just got traded. Fournette, they tried trading him. He had no value. So, I mean, that whole organization is just not run well, coached well. So it's probably good for him to not be on there. So I don't think it'll take long. I can't pinpoint a single team that will sign it. It's, you know, still kind of early since he just got released this morning. But if I had to take a bet, I would have to go with the Buccaneers.
Yikes.
Wow. Actually, I can really see that. And if he joins the I don't even want to get into that, but I like your pick, Steve. Could see Chicago, definitely potential there, but I think it's all about reworking the depth chart. The Bucks, I can really see. It's just about contract and seeing how long he'd be willing to take a cut for. But good picks, good picks. Mr. Fromwitz, what are your picks for Mr. Fournette?
That's also very tough. It just happened today. But for the most part, most teams are set with their running backs. That's why Devontae Freeman is still a free agent, because most teams have their running backs. Like, even though the Jets are struggling, we have Bell and Gore.
They wouldn't need Fournette, yeah.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Bengals, even though they're a dumpster fire, they have Joe Mixon.
But is Mixon... But I feel like Mixon hasn't really been their guy.
Interesting. So if Mixon proves that he's not good, then who knows? Fournette could end up a Bengal, help out Joey Burrow.
You could add a little bit of... you know, because Mixon's kind of more like the...
Speed and then a fullback speed, kind of.
But you could add Fournette's power and speed.
But... So I was thinking about it, and I've come to one specific team... Even though they already have a good running back, I could see the Philadelphia Eagles or the Detroit Lions. But I say the Eagles because they have Miles Sanders, who is definitely a very good running back.
I think he's still going to be the number one. I still think they want him to be number one, but keep going.
He could be, but if you add someone like Fournette and they use... Someone like Miles Sanders is a third down running back, a pass catching running back, or a two back set. Miles Sanders could still be explosive, and he was not their number one all of last year, and he was still very explosive. And I think he could still benefit from having Fournette ahead of him. Also, something very interesting today, which I doubt it's going to be anything. Saw Alvin Kamara has missed a bunch of practices. I don't know if that's anything serious. Who knows if the Saints look at him?
Possible holdout.
Yeah. Or he could be going home. Leonard Fournette going home. He went to LSU. Bring Fournette to NOLA. Alex, Steve, let's hear some thoughts about that. Those picks.
I know. I mean, listen, the Saints pick, that would be pretty cool to see him go back home. I know a lot of guys like a Todd Gurley returning back home to Atlanta. That was cool. So I know guys definitely like to return back to where they grew up or where they played their college ball and they called it home for, you know, either 3 to 4 years. And your pick with the Eagles was also interesting because the Eagles do love their running backs. They bid for Jordan Howard last year and kind of like, I feel like if they were to sign Fournette, it would be kind of like last year.
Did we just lose him?
Not kill him so early in his career. And that's a pretty good, you know, two combo, Miles Sanders and Fournette. And, you know, the Eagles line is good. So I think that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, maybe this is just the Giants fan in me. Maybe this is just, like, the anti-Eagles fan in me. But... not a bad location, not a bad destination. I like Doug Peterson. I think he can make a guy like Fournette work in his system. I think that having him and Sanders, not necessarily splitting carries, but finding a way for them to work together, definitely could see it. And then in terms of New Orleans, I could also see that happening because you look at what they previously had. They had Kamara... And Kamara together. And I personally put Fournette more towards Ingram's play style, just a big guy getting his way across the field. So putting some pieces together, maybe if there's this holdout from Kamara, and maybe they're not sure if he can commit fully, maybe that will entice them to push Fournette. And like Josh had mentioned, he's a product of LSU, had a great college career there, and he's from the area. Sometimes those things work, sometimes they don't. But I am very, very interested to see what happens, not only with these two, but there are a couple of players who have not found homes yet, who we will be getting to more on the next show. Unfortunately, that's all we have for this time. Thank you for everyone who has joined us for season two. We've got a lot of great content coming out for you. Our social media is back and active again. We actually have a new social media coordinator, Matt Angler, very good friend of the podcast. He's a communications major, so I really think he's going to be bringing a lot to our online presence. And one more thing to add, I know our last show we tried promoting a little bit of a game for you guys. It was a hit or miss type thing. We just wanted to see what you guys thought. It is something that the three of us will be discussing and looking to promote in the future, so definitely keep your eyes and ears out for that. And with that being said, once again, I am your host, Alex Castle, alongside with
Josh Fromowitz
and
Stephen Benazzo.
Thank you very much, folks, and we will see you next time for Episode 2, Season 2 of the 3P Podcast.